What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Josh, you're too young to remember Peter Puck. Do you remember Peter Puck?
Oh, man. Was Peter Puck, it was on the TV. It had like a lightning bolt at the end of it to track the puck. Was that it?
No. Oh, you know something? I hadn't even thought of that. No, that was the old Fox trail that they used to put on the puck back in the 90s. No, Peter Puck was in the 70s, a cartoon character designed to get Americans introduced to hockey, especially in the Sun Belt. And what was really cool was he was very popular. What was really bad was he was very popular because NBC used him to promote hockey and teach it between periods. But what wound up happening is most people only tuned in to watch Peter Puck.
That's beautiful. Hey, Ron, I already dated myself getting the wrong Peter Puck reference. So, yeah, my hockey knowledge is around 90s and beyond. But, hey, and it's good and bad. We really want to talk about today with hockey the fact that it is a different kind of sport and it isn't as popular. So as a result, we need to, you know, kind of tailor the way that we can cap these games.
We got to. Let's do that. That's the lesson plan today on the Everything Guide. With Josh Applebaum there, Ron Flatter here, you're where you are. We're going to have a guest today on the Everything Guide, but before we bring in Ian Cameron, who is a professional hockey bettor and a VSiN expert, often seen and heard on VSiN, let's bring in the history of hockey. And look, the game goes back over 100 years, but in terms of the National Hockey League, it's a little bit more recent than that, Josh.
That is true. And yeah, exciting podcast today. We're going to talk to Ian, great capper here, to give us some tips and strategies overall. But yeah, the NHL, just so people know, it is considered one of the major sports overall. However, we'll talk in a little bit the fact that it doesn't get as many bets as the other major sports. That's a big reason why a lot of we have to take different approaches when betting hockey. But the NHL, obviously the National Hockey League, that is your big professional league, best players in the world, obviously. But it was founded in 1917. There are 31 teams, the 32nd team, the Seattle inaugural franchise set to begin their inaugural season 2021-2022. And obviously with hockey, it's a little different. You know, we're looking at three 20-minute periods. We're really looking at, you know, if a game goes to overtime, you have a five-minute three-on-three, which is really, really exciting. You go to a shootout in the regular season if you can't have someone score in overtime. Obviously in the playoffs, that's going to change, and we will talk some playoff systems later. But really, it's your major bet types. You're looking at the money line. You're looking at the puck line, totals, money line is just who's going to win the game straight up. Puck line, you're looking at basically the spread. It's less common, but it's the favorite, -1.5 goals, dog +1.5 goals. And then looking at totals, the over-under, you know, will it go typically hockey totals around, you know, between 5 and 6.5. we'll go over or under. And Ron, I'm sure Ian will talk to us too. It's always rough when you have an under and a game goes to a overtime or a shootout. Or
Josh, the finer points. Let's dig into those now, since you've outlined the general points of betting on hockey. We get into the specifics then with Ian Cameron, the aforementioned expert on hockey, who comes to us from north of the border and often on VSiN, wherever you may be. Ian, this is a unique sport that we're talking about here with hockey. And one of the things we talked about early on is the fact, of course, there are three periods, not two halves, not four quarters. And, of course, you have the garden variety betting with the money line, you have the puck line, you have the total. Just as an outline here, if you were introducing somebody to hockey betting, what's one of the first things you would say sets it apart from the other major sports?
Yeah, it's definitely more of a baseball, I guess you could say, mindset and approach, considering you've got more money line focused rather than obviously point spread. Although, just like in baseball, there's the run line, minus half, 1.5, plus 1.5. You've got that in hockey as well. But for the most part, hockey is money line and totals. That's mostly where my focus goes. Sometimes team totals I'll get involved with. I think in terms of just general strategies, and it's a pretty common knowledge type of situation that I think people have picked up over the years when it comes to the NHL, it's that home ice is often overvalued in the betting marketplace. You're going to find so many instances of teams that really play well on the road and are often going to get better prices on the money line with those teams. I mean, just in terms of the recent season, 20 teams in the NHL, you know, had a record of 500 or better on the road. You know, if you were to ride those teams in terms of finding those teams that play well on the road and bet them on the road game in and game out, you could all of a sudden turn that into a pretty good profit, because obviously the home teams are often, you know, the line and the price is often padded towards them, especially the teams that are really good when they're playing at home. So one of the things I really do look for is finding teams that can play well on the road, and often you could really produce profit with those teams.
Well, Ian, this is Josh, and it's so great to have you on today. We really wanted to talk to a pro NHL capper like yourself and great VSiN contributor, especially Points Red Weekly. But, Ian, I want to talk to you, and I think you hit the nail on the head, because, you know, I'm a contrarian bettor by nature, and I like to bet against the public. I like to take advantage of public bias, place myself on the side of the house, get inflated better numbers, and kind of play that long game. And what's interesting to me about hockey is the fact that, in a way, it's a terrible sport to go contrarian, because when you compare it to all the other major sports, you know, the ticket counts are much lower. You don't really have public bettors per se tuning in to bet hockey. And as a result, lower ticket counts, less public to bet against. So that kind of hurts you overall. So you can kind of throw away betting percentages and not rely on that as much. But on the flip side, you know, being contrarian does kind of go with betting a lot of road teams, because the public usually overvalues those home teams. So, you know, I looked at something, Ian, if you saw this too, but road favorites historically, you know, you've seen road favorites according to BetLab Sports. They're around 57.1% since 2005. So that's not kind of another thing too, where you're contrarian, you're leaning on a lot of dogs. But I guess this is a long-winded way of saying to you, you know, Ian, if you are talking to a brand new bettor who wants to bet hockey, and even though hockey is kind of a lower bet sport, it is getting more popular every year, where do you start? What are some basic things you look for when you are breaking down a matchup between two teams?
Yeah, and certainly, obviously, the emergence of the Vegas Golden Knights has helped hockey popularity from a betting standpoint locally, no question. General things that I'm looking for in breaking down individual games, and this is really where the crux of it comes in. For me, I'm a totals bettor in terms of, and especially with overs. And what I look for with overs, it's not that I don't bet unders, but we have seen, you know, in the NHL, like in so many other sports, basketball, football, rules tailored to generate more offense, more goals. That's been pretty much the mindset of these leagues. Let's tweak the rules. Let's tweak the way penalties or fouls are called to make sure the offenses maybe have a better chance to put to score and put up points, or in this case, goals. So when I look at overs, particularly in the NHL, you know, I'm looking for teams that have forward depth. They can get goal-scoring contributions from all four lines, because oftentimes you're going to see good defensive teams with a solid, especially top four on the blue line, and good checking forwards and their bottom six, you know, that play that shutdown role. They can take away the top line or even the top six forwards, top two lines for these teams. But if you can get goal production from your third and fourth line, it's the teams that can bring you that kind of depth that are very dangerous offensively. Obviously, power play and special team success plays a part in what I look for. Teams that can capitalize with the man advantage is another positive mindset for overs. And one of my favorite things to target in terms of betting NHL games over the total, cluster injuries on defense. That has been a really, really strong strategy to go with in the NHL, where you find these teams that have two, three, sometimes even four starting defensemen out of the lineup due to injury, and they're just decimated back there. They're putting pairings together with players that aren't comfortable playing with each other, that, you know, that cohesion, that chemistry that is not there. What does it mean? It results in communication breakdowns, which result in turnovers, giveaways, problems with the puck, problems organizing coverages in front of the net. And oftentimes you're going to see teams struggle to keep the puck out of their own net when they have those cluster injuries on defense. And also, you know, some of their penalty killing forwards on those third and fourth lines. I mean, the perfect example is the Winnipeg Jets. They had Adam Lowry, Matthew Perreault, two of their bottom six forwards out. They're not their best offensive players, but man, do they make a difference on the penalty kill and defensively in terms of that defensive conscience and presence from the forward group. And they weren't as good a defensive team without those guys. So, you know, key defensive-minded forwards up front, particularly players that play on the penalty kill, and especially teams that are battling multiple injuries on the blue line with defensemen, boy, they become really good over the total candidates game to game.
Yeah, I think it's a great breakdown there, Ian. You know, kind of just remembering that we're trying to let in new bettors who may not bet hockey, you know, a basic money line, for example. I'm from Boston. I'm a Bruins fan. Let's say the Bruins are -130 against the Canadiens, +110 dog. What does that mean? You have to lay $130 in order to win 100 on the Bruins as a favorite. Canadiens, you can bet 100 and win 110 if the Canadiens are able to upset. So that's your basic money line overall. But I wanted to mention too, Ian, you brought up a great point, you know, again, talking about how as a contrarian bettor, there isn't much public to bet against. I think with hockey, a big key is looking at line movement. To me, line movement in hockey is very, very meaningful because you really don't have average Joes betting this sport. It's a lot of, you know, pros like yourself, Ian, diehards, people who know hockey, love hockey and bet hockey. So to a certain extent, I think maybe the average hockey bettor is really dialed into the sport overall, whereas other sports, you know, the NFL, you know, pretty much everyone bets NFL. But to me too, looking at totals, I think one important thing is, obviously, I know you're a big proponent, Ian, shopping for the best line. You know, as a money line sport in a total sport, having access to multiple sports books, looking around, placing your bet at the book that gives you the best number is really, really key. And especially with totals, because it's funny, Ian, I'm not a huge totals guy. I always seem to get burned on an empty net goal, or, you know, I focus a lot more on money lines. But I think with totals, finding some success looking at juice movement with totals. So if a total is, you know, let's say 6.5 and you see it open up even -110 both sides, and you really start to see that that under get juiced up -115, -120. To me, when you can see market liability all on one side, that's an indication of sharps really getting down hard. But I wanted to ask you, Ian, we got to mention the goalie. You know, when you're betting the NFL or football in general, the quarterback is the most important player on the field, affects the game in so many ways, has the biggest impact on the outcome of the game. Major League Baseball, we're talking about starting pitchers. Can you talk to goalies? How do you assess goalies? How do you, you know, kind of deal with backup goalies? Are there certain stats you look at? How big does the goalie factor in when you're placing a bet?
Yeah, the first thing in terms of goalies is you can't paint every team with the same brush. You know, every situation's different in terms of who has the goaltending depth in the organization and who doesn't. It really is that simple. Obviously, we know NHL teams carry two goalies at all times, the starting goalie, the backup goalie. There's going to be certain teams where the backup goalie steps in and he's able to play at a very, very solid level. I mean, you look at the Washington Capitals as an example. You know, Braden Holtby was their number one goalie, has been their number one goalie for years, won a Stanley Cup, obviously, a couple of years ago. But he didn't have a great season this year for the Washington Capitals. He was struggling a little bit. So in steps their backup goalie, Ilya Samsonov, and he's actually had the better season, you know, than Braden Holtby. And as a result, you've got a team there with two goalies where both of them can step in, you know, at a moment's notice and play well. Whereas on the Toronto Maple Leafs, for example, they've had an issue with their backup goaltending situation for years. I mean, Frederick Anderson's been their bona fide number one goalie. He's been terrific. He's been very, very steady and very consistent throughout his career with the Leafs. And that's despite the fact the team's been defensively challenged for years. But they have had consistent question marks at the backup goaltending position. You know, Garrett Sparks years ago, they thought he was the answer, not the case. Michael Hutchinson, they used him. That didn't go very well. They finally settled on Jack Campbell, who might finally give them a little bit of better play from the backup position. And in this new era of NHL, guys, you got to have some good play from your backup goaltender. You can't ask your starting goalie to play 60, 70 starts a year. You've got to give your starting goalie a rest. It's becoming more and more apparent that that's the way to go to preserve, you know, the ability to perform at a high level come playoff time. So if you're not getting consistent play from your backup goaltender, you're not as good of a hockey team, and it's going to show, and it absolutely matters when it comes to handicapping it.
And just to touch on that too, Ian, you know, obviously you have your old-time goalie stats, goals against average. You want to be around 2.2, you know, anything 2.5 or less. Obviously your save percentage. Do you really, you know, when you're trying to rate a goalie or bet on a goalie, are there stats you look for? Are there new age stats that you look at? I know this, you know, kind of the sabermetrics of baseball is kind of shifting into other sports overall, but just stats that you look at when you're trying to assess how good a goalie is, or recent play, or maybe a long track record.
Long-term track record is very good, but current form. And this doesn't just go for goaltending. It goes for everything, and just as the general team performance. You know, and that's where I really think people can make their profits. And not only the NHL, but any sport. Because if you're just betting solely off the overall season numbers and what a team's done from the start to finish of a year, you know, that's going to get you into some trouble. You know, because you're going to see teams that maybe started out the season poorly, goalies that started out the season poorly. And then what if the last five or six starts, the team's playing well, that goalie's playing well, and as a result, the overall numbers kind of lie to you because they're not playing that way right now. They're playing better. They're outperforming the way their overall record currently shows. So that's, to me, what I really look for and pinpoint is the current form is either better or worse than the overall record currently indicates with teams and with goaltenders. In terms of stats I use for goalies, yeah, obviously you have to start with goals against average and save percentage. Those are two very common statistics used in terms of measuring an NHL goalie's perspective. I know there's an advanced goaltending metric as well in terms of high danger scoring chances, just in terms of an overall team's defense, something I use more and more often. Who are giving up those chances in terms of right in front of the net, slot area, allowing too many rebounds, too many second, third chances at loose pucks in front of the net, the high danger scoring chances metric that a lot of now the advanced metrics that we've seen in hockey, like Corsi's another one, puck possession, but definitely high danger scoring chances is one. And I'm not really historically a math guy or an analytics guy or a metrics guy big time. I'll incorporate it, certain ones, but that is one that I found very handy, high danger scoring chances, because it is a really good indicator of just what kind of defensive team this is. Are they giving up those grade A quality chances? Are they doing it too often? And even if it doesn't sometimes show in the number of goals they've allowed, eventually if you're giving up those high danger scoring chances, the goalie's not going to be able to bail you out every single night. So eventually there's going to be come a time when those teams pay the price for just that slack defensive play.
Again, we're lucky enough to be joined by Ian Cameron, pro hockey bettor and VSiN contributor. And Ian, you know, we've talked about the money line. Obviously, in hockey, vast majority of your bets, most popular bets, you know, in general, will be on the money line. Who's going to win the game? I think it's important, too. You made a good point comparing it to Major League Baseball. Why is the money line in baseball and hockey the most, you know, common sport? Because usually you have a lot of one-run, one-goal games. So, therefore, betting on who's going to win versus who's going to cover is a much more kind of sound bet overall. But I want to get into the puck line a little bit, Ian. You know, the puck line, kind of abbreviated PL, but you hear a puck line a lot. What is that? It's just the spread. All you're doing is looking at betting a favorite minus 1.5, a dog plus 1.5. So if you bet the favorite, they got to win by 2 goals or more. The dog can either win the game or lose by just 1 goal. It's kind of like baseball with the run line, similar sort of thing. But obviously the prices are going to change when you're betting the puck line. So I know a lot of bettors who will look for, you know, big favorites who are minus, you know, 300 and then bet them on the puck line, get a better number, and basically hope they win by two instead of just one here. But what's your approach with puck line betting, Ian? Do you lean on a lot of, you know, taking the favorite minus 1.5, getting a better number, sometimes getting the dog plus 1.5? It sounds great, but you have to lay a big number, usually a big minus, you know, 150, minus 200, minus whatever. So your approach with puck line betting, and how do you identify a scenario where maybe the money line I'm not so sold on, but I like this puck line value? What makes a puck line value bet valuable to you?
Yeah, in terms of puck line, I'm almost exclusively will lay the goal and a half on the puck line as opposed to take the goal and a half because of, as you mentioned, you know, plus 1.5 goals. You've got to lay a hefty price with that. But there are many situations where I'll look to lay the goal and a half. One of them for sure is definitely a team playing well, you know, a top-tier team against a bottom feeder. You don't want to lay minus 190 or minus 200 even in some cases. You play the minus 1.5 goals, get a better price. You just get the superior team against the inferior team, sometimes one of the worst teams in hockey. You'll be able to get a good price on that. In terms of individual situations to lay the goal and a half, obviously fading a team that's not only playing poorly but maybe decimated by injuries. You know, that's definitely one of the things that I target in terms of bet on, bet against, from a minus to, in terms of laying the goal and a half as opposed to the money line. And another one is motivation and certain, you know, intangible incidents that could occur during the course of the season. What if you've got turmoil in a dressing room or a team that's, you know, fading out of the playoff race? They're hearing it from the media on a daily basis. It's really impacting that entire dressing room negatively in terms of their mindset and their mentality every day as they go to practice, take the ice for a game. And I find there's really examples of teams that have those, just they just fall off a cliff at some point, you know, late in the season as they're falling out of the playoff race. They're losing game after game after game, and they're hearing all these this negative press and negative headlines. And it just seems that in the NHL, I've seen teams take, you know, weeks, you know, maybe even a dozen or more games to get out of these funks before they finally do. And oftentimes when they're losing these games, they're losing by margin. So you can go ahead and lay the goal and a half on the puck line against those teams that just seem to be in free fall mode. And it seems like each season, especially the last few, there have been examples of teams like that. Buffalo Sabres, you know, just this past season, a perfect example. They couldn't get out of their own way for the longest time. And if you were laying a goal and a half against them, game in and game out when they were in their free fall, you didn't do that badly for yourself. So those are just some of the instances where puck line is absolutely in my wheelhouse when it comes to the NHL.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, Ian. And kind of just to wrap it up, hitting on all the, you know, basic bet types here, obviously money line, puck line, the total you mentioned with totals. You know, obviously the way the NHL is kind of changing the rules, you don't have as many what you call it goons back in the day, and it's not as a hard-hitting game, and you have a lot more ticky-tack, you know, calls that get put a guy in the penalty box, power play opportunities. So kind of the game is more tailored, kind of like in the NFL with football, tailored with rule changes toward the offense overall. So in that vein, you know, one thing at VSiN we hear a lot, you know, Paulie and Mitch in the morning, they love the first period over under 1.5, taking the over. Do you ever look for situations where, you know, early on maybe you see a first period, because there's so many different opportunities to bet on an NHL game. You ever look at the over under 1.5 first period? And then also, how important and how much stock do you put into, you know, special teams, power play percentage, you know, obviously penalty kill, just kind of wrapping up the whole over under conversation?
Yeah, definitely. And I alluded to this earlier, but power play and penalty kill has to be a part of the puzzle. It can't be the whole entire equation, but it has to be at least a piece of the handicap in terms of whether you go over under first period or full game in terms of an NHL hockey game. You do have to pay attention, be at least aware, you know, of how good a team is on the power play and how good they are on the penalty kill. You know what? 2 years ago, it was great to be betting these first period overs. Even last season, there was a lot of value still, but you're seeing the adjustment, no question, to these first period totals. You're seeing now, if you like over 1.5, you're not getting the even money, and you're not getting the plus price you were a year or two ago. Now you're having to lay minus 150 in some cases, even minus 200. And, you know, there's been some games this past season, you know, you'd even see two for the first period total in some of these games. So they're really realizing that a lot of these teams had these just, you know, unbelievable streaks to the first period over, in particular. Chicago Blackhawks, of course, come to mind as a team that was just on an insane run to the first period over. Me personally, though, Josh, I really stick to the full game totals more than the first periods, especially now that the value, and especially with first period overs, has been, you know, the value's really been sucked out of it the last year and a half, as the adjustments been made, the first period over becoming such a popular and much talked about type of bet. So I stick to full game totals more than the first periods, but I will, and on occasion, look at a first period total. What would prompt me to look at a first period total is probably a team that maybe isn't happy with, you know, the way they're moving the puck, maybe not the way they're generating offense. They're maybe having a tough time scoring lately, but you hear quotes from maybe the coach or one of the players saying, we've got to get off to a fast start. We've made some adjustments with our power play. If you get that combination, you could look for a team that maybe can jump out on the scoreboard early, making that first period over a good look. But for the most part, when it comes to NHL totals, I'll look full game as opposed to the first period.
Great stuff as always, Ian. So we're going to let you go shortly. I just want to tell everyone, if you want to find more information and great hockey stats and everything from Ian, you can find him on Twitter at Bobano. I hope I'm saying that right, Ian. B-O-B-A-N-O. Then just before I let you go, Ian, any last short things, recommendations, people looking to bet hockey, just a quick rule of thumb or just basic tips you want to stress to new hockey bettors?
Yeah, really, it's pace yourself. Don't go on tilt after a bad night. You know, it's a long season. It's an 82-game season, the NHL, just like NBA. You've got to, like you would in any other sport, you know, pick your spots. You know, try to keep your bankroll management, you know, principles intact. Make sure you're betting similar amounts, you know, with most of your wagers. Like for me, it's half unit, one unit, and two units. That's it. No 10 units, no 100 units. This is about preserving a bankroll long term, building a bankroll long term, and that's the way you've got to go about it. And, you know, just before we wrap up, just keep in mind some of the strategies I've mentioned, because they've worked for me, and they might be able to work for you as well. But don't also be scared to look at your own, you know, methodology and ways to maybe bet a sport like the NHL. It's what's worked for me doesn't necessarily mean what if you do something different, it's not going to work for you. But I'm glad to be able to share the strategies. And NHL hockey is, I think, one of the most exciting sports. I think it's the best playoffs in all of sports, with the Stanley Cup playoffs. You get me an overtime playoff game. In the NHL, I don't think there's anything better than that. So again, NHL hockey, it's been something I've been betting for 10 years, and I'm looking forward to hopefully continuing to bet it year in and year out for a long time to come.
Good thing about podcasts is I can hit rewind, because I think I broke my pen trying to scribble everything down that you two were suggesting. So I'll do that, and I'll turn you loose, Ian. Turn you loose to go ahead and cash some more tickets on the NHL. Ian Cameron, thanks for joining us here on the Everything Guide.
All right, Ron and Josh, thanks a lot for having me. Take care.
On the other side, Josh and I will break down a few things that Ian did not, including some ideas on scheduling, when we return on the Everything Guide to Sports Betting VSiN podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
With Josh Applebaum, Ron Flatter on the Everything Guide, talking NHL, some of the things we did not cover with Ian include scheduling, Josh, particularly something that you have identified in terms of a strategy, road teams, and especially road favorites.
Yeah, so a couple strategies we got to mention here and give our listeners kind of a blueprint moving forward. You know, again, it's weird for me to talk about how well favorites do in hockey because I'm a dog better. I am a contrarian better, and dogs almost always have great value across all sports because they're basically undervalued and just, you know, brushed aside by the betting public. But like we said all throughout this episode, hockey is a different type of sport. And as a result, without, you know, with so much, so many fewer recreational bettors betting, favorites do well, a higher clip than most other sports. But it's really these road favorites because you can get better prices. Obviously, home, you know, home favorites are going to be typically you're going to have to lay a bigger number to bet them. But road favorites in general, about 57.1% since 2005. And they've actually been blindly profitable betting each one. Doesn't mean you want to bet each one, but it kind of gives you an idea that you can kind of, you know, keep that lean on road situation opportunity, but also incorporate favorites. And I think one thing that I always come back to is in hockey, it's the way the rink is set up, it's not as big as a home ice advantage because you have the boards and you have, you know, like 8-10 feet of glass that surrounds the rink. And really the fans can't have as big of an impact, or you're kind of in your own like little petri dish where you're kind of separated from everyone else. So I think just the external factors are lessened when you're betting hockey overall. But the other thing, Ron, road favorites late in season, you get, you know, kind of, I consider this kind of like a tanking system, game 60 and beyond.
Right.
Teams who made the playoffs last year who, you know, are hungry and want to get back to the cup, versus teams who didn't, are more likely to fade down the stretch. That's another one that I lean on. And then non-division road favorites. If you add another layer, you're almost close to 60% because of that lack of familiarity kind of benefits the favorite, especially if you're on the road as well. And then, Ron, I know you know how scheduling can be such an important factor in the
that's
NHL.
That's exactly it. I was going to bring that up because I play this when I'm betting hockey. I pound this, and there's a couple of angles I play. One's the obvious one. We'll pursue that first, and that's back-to-backs, who's had rest, and who's coming in with having to deal with basically the grind of the schedule.
Yeah, so I think what's really important with, you know, you think of like NBA back-to-backs, that was hugely profitable, just fade the team on the second leg, but then you have a point spread and then it becomes overvalued and that's kind of come back to earth. But with hockey, it's pretty tried and true year in after year out. And I think what's important about this is hockey is a very, very grueling sport. It's checking. It's high-paced. It's very physical. You have to be an absolute warrior to play hockey. And when you're on the second leg of a back-to-back, that can really, really hurt you because you just went through a grueling 60 minutes or more the previous night. The big advantage to me is I always look at scheduling spots, you know, everything Ian talked about, but is one team on a back-to-back versus a team who is rested? Rest versus tired is an edge that I really, really lean on. And to me, with hockey, it's the sport that you see it be most profitable overall. So it's like, you know, hockey is so difficult. If you have a couple days off to rest your legs, rehab, you know, just kind of chill for a little bit, get your legs back, that is a huge advantage overall. So another thing is like motivation. A team on the second leg of a back-to-back who won last night versus a team who's rested and is coming off a loss, they had to stew on that loss. I love grabbing that rested team off a loss that incorporates both rest and motivation. So I think long story short, Ron, you know, always consider it like a bye week in the NFL. If a team is rested versus a team who is tired, big advantage to that rested team, especially if you can incorporate some motivation, some bounce back, you know, kind of mentality.
Something Brent Musburger taught me some years ago on betting hockey is betting against a streak. And you're saying, whoa, wait a minute. Hands off that. But here's his strategy. And I can't tell you how many times either he's burned me on a personal bet on this angle or I've taken advantage of his advice. Team comes in off a very successful road trip and is back home for the first time. Brent's strategy is to bet against that home team coming back. They come back home. They got to open the mail and pay the bills and do the honeydews with the wife and the loved one, or both. And in doing so, they're distracted. You got to deal with tickets all of a sudden again. You get a little bit lax sleeping in your own bed finally. And that home team coming back off a 5-1 road trip gets knocked around a little bit. What do you think of that?
I love that angle. And you and Brennan hit the nail on the head with that one. I always think about my Bruins, you know, coming off a long West Coast road trip, first game back at the Garden, a team they should easily beat, they lose. It, you know, it's like death taxes and, you know, bet against that home team off a good, successful road trip. So I love that angle, Ron. And this is kind of overall just with betting. These are the things you got to look at. You know, I'm a data-driven bettor. I lean a ton on, you know, line movement and market data and market factors and where's the sharp money and everything like that. But these are the little things you have to add to your game if you want to be successful. So that's really, really important. I think another thing Ian mentioned is the Stanley Cup playoffs. It is just the most intense. It's incredible. I think everyone's like, you know, it's the best overall, and I believe that is the case. But you do have a lot of guys and girls, Ron, who will jump in and bet the playoffs. And I think one thing to lean on in the playoffs, you get series prices, so there's different ways to bet. But lean on experience. That would be another factor or, you know, kind of suggestion. You know, look at teams who made the playoffs the previous year playing teams who missed it the previous year. That experience going through the grind, knowing how intense the Stanley Cup playoffs are and just, you know, being through the wars and knowing what to expect and how to combat it, how to stay even keeled. Big benefit historically toward teams that have that experience versus don't. So it's around 61% throughout the playoffs since 2005. But all these things factor in. And at VSiN, you know, make sure you sign up for our newsletter, VSiN.com/newsletter. Mm-hmm. Watch, you know, at VSiN Live on Twitter. We tweet out so many great, you know, great stuff all the time. But hockey, so many opportunities here, Ron, and it's fun.
I'll give you one more. I'll give you a trap door. I got to ask you about this before we wrap it up because I've been holding back on this one. Here's the one thing in hockey you get that you don't get in any other sport, and that's the empty net goal. And when you're betting into the puck line, beware of the empty net goal. Not only does it create a circumstance where you end up getting a bad beat if you took the puck and a half and suddenly that margin of one becomes two, but it can also be a circumstance where the team that's trailing is got the extra attacker, ties the game, and suddenly where you were laying the puck and a half, you're in overtime and you can't.
Yeah, it is like a gift and a curse, Ron. It's almost like, you know, a game gets late in a basketball game. You get to free throws and you're on the under and it's just a free throw fest down late. But that's the thing with hockey. The empty net goal, it giveth, it taketh away. You know, it can crush a bet for you. It could give you a maybe they get two empty net goals and send it over. You know what I mean? Anything can happen there. So that's just something you always got to be aware of. And then remember, too, with hockey, you know, there are more opportunities than just betting individual games. We can bet futures. We can bet Stanley Cup odds, you know, odds to win the conference, the division. You know, you have win totals in other sports. In hockey, you have point totals. So will they go over or under the Bruins, you know, 98.5 points, whatever it may be. You know, later in the year, you can bet awards, who's going to win the Hart Trophy, the MVP, the Vezina, the best goalie, Conn Smythe, the playoff MVP. So this is all available to you with a great expanded betting menu in hockey. And I think hockey is important because it's not a niche sport. It's a major sport, but it's still niche-y kind of, which gives you a big opportunity to, if you focus on it, you can really take advantage of a market that maybe is a little underserved.
And by the way, if you had the over under 3.5 on Boston references
Boom.
In this podcast, you the overpaid for you there with that empty net mention.
Of course.
I'm going to give you one more Boston mention, just to give you an old guy reference, because I gave you an old guy reference at the top. I'm going to give you an old guy reference at the end. What did Boston, Chicago, and Buffalo have in common up until around the mid to late 90s in terms of a home ice advantage?
The old garden? I don't know. What do you
think? Big part of it.
Who? Yeah. What is it?
Big part of it. Smaller ice. And you had teams coming in there who were not used to, remember the old thing, you couldn't have the two-line pass in the old days, and they'd have to pass inside the red line and to the other side of it. Boston, Chicago, and Buffalo mastered it at their rinks, and visiting teams had a very hard time with it. So when a team came in for the first time into the Boston Garden, Chicago Stadium, or the old odd, you'd always lay it hard on the home team.
I love it, Ron.
Yeah. Those days are gone.
As always, though, hopefully you learned a few things on today's pod. Mm-hmm. Remember, as always, track your bets. You know, make sure you can learn about yourself as a bettor. Audit your plays. Shop for the best line. And closing line value, just a quick hit. Remember, you know, it's not always the outcome that determines a good or bad bet. If you're consistently beating that closing line, getting a better number, paying a better price than everyone else is when the market closes, that's a sign of a sharp bettor. But go sweat some puck games here, Ron, and go Bruins.
Yes. I think we worked it up to 60 or somehow. With Josh Applebaum and thanks to Ian Cameron, this is Ron Flatter. You've been listening to a hockey edition of the Everything Guide to Sports Betting VSiN podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.